from Sunburst Media Productions and Refuge Productions. This is Spectrum 360. Welcome. Your Spectrum 360 co-hosts are Mark Skogman and Bruce Wright. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. and online anytime via podcast. Thank you for listening for the next hour. Spectrum 360 is progressive and features political talk and humor and also the arts and popular culture. Spectrum 360 starts right now. Let's get to work.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Any one of you who feels cynical, just consider where we have been.
You want the truth, you should seek it out for yourself. That's what they're afraid of. You.
This is information the world needs to know.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Thank you. Bless you. This is the end of the meeting. It's the beginning of the movement. Thank you.
Yeah. Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
This is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 2nd of December, 2013. I'm your host, Mark Skogman. On Spectrum 360, in this edition, we are going to have a varied program packed with content, a lot of variety. It's going to be pretty interesting. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are. And I think once you've heard the program, you'll be very pleased. It's going to be a great program. So stay with me. Segment one is going to be a review of the film, the documentary drama Parkland. It's a dramatization about the events on Friday, the 22nd November, 1963, during the assassination of President John Kennedy and what happened at Parkland Hospital in Dallas, Texas, and other places as well. I will have a review of the film and a discussion about its historical accuracy. Now, considering we had on last week's program on the 25th of November, 2013, one of the best experts on the Kennedy assassination that you could have. It's going to be interesting to have seen the film Parkland since then and having these opinions about the historical accuracy of that film. So that's going to be interesting. So stay tuned for that. Segment two is going to be another film review. We're actually doing three tonight. I'm going to do a package of three film reviews, all very good films in their own way. The second film is going to be another documentary film called Beneath the Blindfold. It's a film about the effects of torture on the victims of torture. This film was just screened on Saturday, the 23rd of November, 2013, at the School of America's Watch Vigil in Columbus, Georgia. I was present for that screening. We'll talk about that. Very interesting film. And also another film, a documentary film, The Invisible War, about military sexual trauma in the United States military. This film was screened on Saturday, the 16th of November, 2013. In this area, in Holiday, Florida, a special screening was conducted. I was present for that screening. We'll have a discussion of that film. We'll also have the audio of the previews of all three of these films for your listening pleasure, so you can hear what the films sound like and some discussion. Also, we're going to start the holiday season on Spectrum 360. We're going to feature some good Christmas music between now and Christmas. It's going to be different. It's going to be comedic. It's going to be non-traditional. Tonight, we're going to throw into the program at some point The Paws of Mr. Claus by Arlo Guthrie. That's my all-time favorite Christmas song. You'll just have to hear it to believe it. If you haven't heard it before, you're in for a great treat. It's really funny. If you've heard it before, enjoy it again. I've got a little extra couple of little sounds at the end of it, which should make it even funnier. And then for the second half of the program, we're going to have, we're starting a special coverage of the School of America's Watch Vigil on this program and the next program. So the second half of the program, approximately, is going to be special coverage of the SOA Watch. We will continue on next week's program, which will be December 9th, with additional coverage of the SOA Watch. Now, the SOA Watch Vigil is conducted every year on the weekend before Thanksgiving week. So this last two weekends ago, that is when the School of America's Watch Vigil was conducted. So we'll be having exclusive coverage from the SOA Watch. This is the only media program in the whole Tampa Bay area and one of the few in the country that has been covering the SOA Watch. And this is going to be exclusive coverage. I was on site working very hard to get on location media for this program and for a documentary film, which is I am also producing about the School of America's Watch. So look out for that for the next two programs. Tonight will include a interview with Father Roy Bourgeois. He's the founder of the School of the America's Watch. Also, we'll have a short speech by Patrick McCann at the School of America's Watch Vigil on Sunday, the 24th of November. He is the current president of Veterans for Peace, the National Veterans for Peace Organization. Also, we'll have an announcement about the Honduras elections. And I've got a segment of music from one of the performances on this stage at the SOA Watch. It's called One by One. We'll throw that in for good measure as well. So, let's get right to business, shall we? Segment one, the review of the film, the documentary drama Parkland, which is a dramatization of the events on Friday, the 22nd November 1963, during the assassination of President John Kennedy. Now, the film is very interesting. And like I said, it's a documentary drama about 22nd November 1963, the assassination of John Kennedy happened that day in Dallas, Texas. It primarily focuses on the events at Parkland Hospital, but also focuses on what happened with Abraham Zapruder and the Secret Service and the famous Zapruder film. That's heavily covered in the film as well. Now, it's not a documentary film. It's a documentary drama, and it does get some things wrong, and we're going to be discussing that. But the film itself, the production is very good, the acting is very good, and the depictions of a lot of things are very historically accurate, and it has the most dramatic emergency room scenes from Parkland Hospital that I've ever seen dramatized. I was in tears, crying at least three times during this film, because it's just very emotionally strong content. It affects you very much emotionally. And I had a difficult time viewing it. I do not recommend it for children because it's got some very strong content and very graphic emergency room hospital scenes, but nonetheless, pretty historically accurate. I'm going to play for you the trailer, the audio of the trailer of the film, the preview, so that you can get a flavor of the film itself.
Good morning, everyone. This is Norwood McClendon reporting. Fort Worth, temperature 56 degrees. Dallas, 55.
Nice day for a motorcade.
President and Mrs. Kennedy arrived in Fort Worth from Houston late.
Anything you hit on the president's visit you don't like, tell the Secret Service. Their show.
The president scheduled two speeches.
We're going to be okay here?
Oh, yeah. It's a good program.
It will now only be a matter of minutes until the arrival.
Early lunch today. I want everybody downstairs to see the president.
Now they've turned on to Elm Street.
Ah, there he is!
President Kennedy is being rushed to Parkland Hospital.
Got something. It's the president. He's coming in.
He's probably got the flu.
We do not know officially.
His head just flew to pieces.
Doctor!
Who's the attendant?
Right now, it is just you.
Do something!
It is the president.
I know who it is.
I need pressure right here!
Mr. Zapruder, I'm Forrest Sorrells, United States Secret Service.
The film in that camera is the only way we have to know what happened out here today. There are people out there that are ready to start a war.
He's picked up somebody in Oak Cliff. They think he's the shooter.
The Dallas police just announced the arrest of Lee H. Oswald.
Bob? Is that your brother?
This guy works at the depository.
Why the hell do we have him?
Because I'm tracking.
For how long?
Do you have any idea what you've done?
Mother, your son apparently killed the most important person in the world.
It's my story, too.
If I were you, I'd move as far from here as I could. I'd never come back, even to die.
Listen, I can't tell you everything right now, but I knew about Oswald.
You shouldn't have told me that. You don't want me to know that.
It's a very undignified end for a very dignified man.
We had the assassin of the president in our office 10 days ago.
We had him, and we could have stopped him.
Jesus Christ, this was not supposed to happen.
Okay, there you have it. That is the audio of the preview of the film Parkland. The film Parkland was in theaters locally for a few weeks, several weeks ago, and now is available on Bright House Networks on pay-per-view. So you can watch it. If you have Bright House Networks and you have access to pay-per-view, you can watch it on Bright House Networks. The film is very good. Like I said, it's very well acted. It's very well produced. There are some problems with the film, however. Now, people who listen to this program regularly know that I probably did the best interview and the most important interview of my life last week on this program with Robert Godin, who is one of the best Kennedy assassination experts that exist on this planet right now in this country. Okay? He's very good, and he's a friend of mine. I've done research with him. I've done trips around Dallas with him, a number of things. And he's very, very good on the Kennedy assassination. He was also a consultant on the film that was produced by Oliver Stone entitled JFK. He was also an actor in three scenes in that film, too. They really put him to work. Besides consulting and advising on the film, he was actually an actor as well in three scenes. Now, when I was watching Parkland, I immediately noticed that the film is based on the book, the nonfiction book by Vincent Bugliosi, on the Kennedy assassination. Now, Vincent Bugliosi, through his book, supports the Warren Commission report, which we know is false. We know anything is the truth other than the Warren Commission report. We know that's false. So that's false information. So when it comes to the scene where the shooting starts of President Kennedy, what the film depicts is three shots. Of course, that's because there are three shots that are admitted to by the Warren Commission report. Now, we know that's false. There were at least 8 to 9 shots and may have been as many as 12 to 15 shots, depending on how you want to count them. There was definitely more than three. So, that's the first problem with the film, is it depicts the Warren Commission report's report of three bullets when we know there were many more than that. And it goes on throughout the film like that. There are definitely factual inaccuracies. But there are a lot of accurate information as well in the film, and there's a lot of good dramatization. So even though it has its problems, even though it supports the official story, which we know is false, it is still worth viewing. Great acting, great production. Just be aware of its flaws and dig further deeper into the history yourself and find out for yourself what's true in the film and what's false. So that makes it very good viewing. And I have to say one thing about the Vincent Bugliosi book, that Vincent Bugliosi was the prosecutor of the Charles Manson case, the Charles Manson family in the late 60s, very famous case and a very famous prosecution, and it's what made Vincent Bugliosi famous. Now, he wrote this extensive book on the Kennedy assassination, and after it was released, it was in bookstores, I went in there and I picked up a copy of it, and I thought, well, you know, what's the viewpoint of this book? Is there any new information in it? And immediately found out that he supported the official Warren Commission story, which we know is false. And I was able to disprove that Lee Harvey Oswald was the assassin in about 5 minutes with Vincent Bugliosi's own book. I picked it up, I opened it up, and I opened right to a section of photographs. And the photograph I looked at was the famous photograph of Lee Harvey Oswald with the communist newspapers and the rifles. We know that's a doctored photograph. Well, what I mean by a doctored photograph is that it's a composite. It's not just a photograph that was taken in a backyard. It was put together. It was produced. In modern terms, you would call it Photoshopped. Of course, Photoshop doesn't exist back then, so they didn't use computer programs. They used physical techniques. Now, I've been a professional photographer for 29 years, and I've also done everything you can in photo processing, including custom black and white printing, where you would do exactly that kind of work. I've done that myself. I used to spend hours a day in a dark room, working in the dark, under either dark conditions or red conditions, doing exactly that kind of work. I know how it can be done, and it's obvious that it was. You look at the shadows on the face and the shadows on the body and the ground, and they don't match. They're taken at two different times a day. The face and the rest of the photograph are composites. They were taken at two different times. It's not a real photograph. So I disproved Vincent Bugliosi's theory with his own book in about 5 minutes, which kind of shocked me. I didn't think I'd be able to do it that fast, but there you go. So you've got to look at the real evidence when it comes to the Kennedy assassination. That's what you need to do. Okay, so that's the film Parkland. I still recommend viewing it. The scenes of the emergency room physicians attempting to save President Kennedy's life are dramatic, wrenching, and had me in tears at least three times. And very, very powerful film. I recommend it. Okay, on to segment two. And that is a brief discussion of the film Beneath the Blindfold, which we'll have right after this little break.
Okay, maybe it's the papers, maybe it's the family, maybe it's the internet, radio, TV, maybe it's the president, maybe it's the last one, maybe it's the one before that. Maybe it's the athletes, maybe it's the ads, maybe it's the sports fans, agents, fads, maybe it's the homeless, aliens, immigrants, maybe it's life. Don't tell me that it's imminent.
Come on, people now. Smile on your brother, everybody get together, try to love one another right now.
Spectro 360 with Mark Scoblin and Bruce Wright.
Okay, back for the next film review. This is a documentary film called Beneath the Blindfold. On Saturday, the 23rd of November, 2013, I was in Columbus, Georgia at the Columbus Convention Center, which is a great place, by the way, a great place to hold a convention, beautiful building. And I was at the School of America's Watch Vigil Program. This is political events that go on for actually an entire week, but the primary programs are on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the weekend before the week of Thanksgiving. And I attended the screening of this film at the USA Watch event. This film is in color. It was released in 2012 and is 55 minutes, 16 seconds in length. And it features the stories of four people who were tortured. One was Hector Aristizabal, Matilda de la Sierra, Donald Vance, and Blama Massacoy. They each have different stories. They were all tortured, and they all have very important perspectives to share. Now let's listen to the audio of the preview of the film.
My house was raided by the army.
I was abducted and tortured. I am nothing now. I am like a dead woman.
All your humanity is taken and just down like this by someone and say you no longer exist. And
they see all these scars on me. They really want to know what happened to me.
Everything that I've been through can and will happen again to another American.
I had nightmare after nightmare and fantasy after fantasy of doing the worst things imaginable to my torturer.
You start to lose your mind.
Whistleblowing landed him in the detention system for enemy combatants.
Overload and deprivation. No light and then blinding light. No sound and then heavy music. The classic techniques the CIA has developed over the past half century. There it is.
One time a survivor said to me, these scars are here and they remind me, but they've healed. And then he just held his head and said, but I don't think this will ever heal.
It is not something I'm really comfortable explaining it to people.
Sometimes I feel like I cannot tell Jim things, so I talk with Chocolate.
They came to my house, and this is what they did to me.
Rage is not enough. You need to know what to do with it.
For many torture survivors, healing is about reconnecting.
All of us are not just torture survivors. We're people who have many gifts.
I can take care of somebody who survived too.
Siento a la mujer que lucha, a esa mujer que cae, pero se levanta.
So I'm telling the story. We need to see that this is what we're doing.
And there you have it. That's the audio of the preview for the film Beneath the Blindfold. And this is a description of the film from the film's website. The website for the film is beneaththeblindfold.org. In a time when fictionalized accounts dominate the public's understanding of torture, Beneath the Blindfold reveals the reality of life after torture. Four torture survivors from around the globe face the psychological and physical fallout from their experience while going through the daunting steps of building new lives, careers, and relationships. Behind the Blindfold takes an unflinching look at consequences of torture through the eyes of survivors while celebrating their ability to regain agency and hope. And Hector, now I'm going to try to pronounce his name again, Aristizabal. Hector Aristizabal was present at the screening of the film. Now, he's from Colombia, very interesting man. He's a theater artist, a therapist, an activist. And when he was a college student in the 1980s, he was tortured by the Colombian military and subsequently left his country. And Hector now lives in California and travels internationally to teach workshops and present his plays through the nonprofit Imagine Action. And he does a one-person, one-man play about torture, which is very good, and I recommend it to people. And I want to focus just briefly on the section of the film that deals with the case of Donald Vance. Donald Vance grew up in Chicago, and he served in the U.S. military in the Navy. And when Don went to work for a private security contractor in Iraq, he noticed suspicious money and weapons transactions. So Don contacted the FBI in Chicago and became a whistleblower. And when the security company's offices were raided by American forces, Don was not rewarded by glory and public acclaim. Far from it. He was detained, he was denied access to a lawyer, and held incommunicado at the infamous Camp Cropper in Iraq. Don experienced the sort of no-touch torture or torture light, the components of enhanced interrogation methods don't consider torture. Extreme sleep and food deprivation, walling, denial of medical care, sensory overload in the form of loud music or excessive lights, and intimidation. Now, Don's case was actually appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. And here is what happened in the U.S. Supreme Court case filing. We were very disappointed to learn that the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear an appeal by Don Vance, the American in our film. Don's attorney, Mike Kanovitz, Esquire of Lovey & Lovey, brought Don's case to the U.S. Supreme Court, asking them to set aside the ruling of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit. That ruling stated that the U.S. citizens who were tortured by members of the military cannot sue them for violating their constitutional rights. The Supreme Court's decision to deny the petition for appeal means the Seventh Circuit Court decision, a blow to the civil rights of every American, is now affirmed. Now, that's a very important thing that people should know about. It's a very important case. And that's just one tidbit from Beneath the Blindfold. It's less than an hour, makes your points very quickly and very powerfully. I highly recommend it. It's excellent viewing. Okay, now on to our third film review of the documentary film. This is a documentary film, not a documentary drama. It's a documentary just like Beneath the Blindfold. It's called The Invisible War. On Saturday, the 16th of November, 2013, I went to the Fairfield Inn in Holiday, Florida to see a special screening of this documentary film, The Invisible War. The subject of the film is military sexual trauma and is in the U.S. military. The film is color, 93 minutes in length, and was released on Friday, the 20th of January, 2012. And interestingly enough, I've seen at least three segments of this film in other media, just as it's been publicized over the last year. So it's being played, and it's pretty interesting. It's very difficult to watch. It's about a very difficult subject, and it needs to be seen. The director was Kirby Dick, and the film was written by Kirby Dick, Amy Ziering, and other writers. And it features the stories of U.S. military personnel, both male and female, that were victims of military sexual trauma. The personnel whose stories were included in the film are Corey Choka, U.S. Coast Guard, and her husband Rob McDonald, also U.S. Coast Guard, Jessica Hinvis, U.S. Air Force, Robin Lynn, also U.S. Air Force, Ariana Clay, U.S. Marine Corps, and she was a Lieutenant Ariana Clay at the time her military sexual trauma happened, Trina McDonald, U.S. Navy, Ellie Helmer, U.S. Marines, as Lieutenant Ellie Helmer, Hannah Sewell, U.S. Navy, Robin Kale, U.S. Marine Corps, Ayanna DeFore, U.S. Army, Christina Jones, U.S. Army, Deborah Dickerson, U.S. Air Force, and as she appeared in the film as the retired captain. Also, Regina Vasquez of the U.S. Marine Corps. Now, this is a great film. It's very difficult to watch, but it's a very important subject. There's a huge amount of military sexual trauma that's going on in the military. There's an epidemic of it, and it's a very hot, current issue right now. And this film is a rare example of how film actually influences government and military policy. You see the ending credits, and it states that on April 14th, 2012, Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta watched this film. 2 days later, he took the decision to prosecute away from unit commanders. However, it was noted that this was not enough, and basically nothing has happened since. Secretary Panetta did want to take prosecuting military sexual crimes out of the control of unit commanders, because sometimes the unit commanders are themselves the perpetrators, and then the victims have to report to their unit commanders, which are the very people that have victimized them. There's a number of incidents of that in the film. So very difficult to watch, but also very important. It's an ongoing issue. John McCain is resisting taking the prosecution authority away from commanders and keeping in the military, but there's a lot of female members of the United States Congress, Secretary Panetta, and others who are working to stop that. So that's an excellent film. I highly recommend it. You got to see it. It's pretty easy to see it online or order a copy. Please do. Spectrum 360 will be back in about 5 minutes after a break for network news and commercials, and we'll have more Spectrum 360 for you about the SOA watch, and we'll continue on telling the truth about all things political. Spectrum 360, stay with us. See you at the other side of the break.
NBC News Radio, I'm Melissa Rayberger. Today may have been the last Cyber Monday without a sales tax. On the busiest online shopping day of the year, the Supreme Court refused to wade into a dispute over state sales taxes for purchases on websites like Amazon.com. NBC's Pete Williams.
The companies Amazon and Overstock.com had said that they should only have to collect sales taxes in the states where they have a physical presence. They lost that in a New York court, and the Supreme Court declined to take their appeal.
The ruling is likely to prompt more states to collect taxes on internet sales. A commuter train that derailed over the weekend, killing four passengers in the Bronx, was hurtling at 82 miles per hour as it entered a 30-mile-per-hour curve. National Transportation Safety Board member Earl Wiener says that poses a big question.
So the question is, was this human error or faulty equipment? The answer is, at this point in time, we can't tell.
NBC affiliate KUSA in Denver is reporting tonight that the Denver City Council has voted to allow marijuana use anywhere on private residential property, and that includes the front yard. This is NBC News Radio.
Hey, it's me, Mike Rowe, here with Fiona Doran, a service advisor to Ford dealership. I've got about 60 seconds today to convince you that Ford is actually in the tire business. I'll be asking the questions. Fiona, she'll be answering them. How are you, Fiona?
Wonderful. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Are you ready?
I am.
If I need new tires for my Ford, where should I go?
Your Ford dealership.
And who carries 11 major brands?
Your Ford dealership.
And who's having a big tire event?
Your Ford dealership.
You're basically going to say your Ford dealership no matter what I say, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Nice shoes. Where'd you get those?
Your Ford dealership.
Come see the vehicle experts and get a $70 mail-in rebate when you buy four select tires. Plus another $70 when you use the Ford Service credit card. That's up to $140.
What's the capital of Wisconsin?
Your Ford dealership.
That's technically not true.
Subject to credit approval. Rebate by check. Other tire manufacturer rebate or offer cannot be combined or Ford Service credit card rebate or offer. See your participating Ford dealer for details through 12/31/13.
You may be owed some money. After 911 and 411, call 541. That's 727-541-1741. Call Gulfstream Motorsports for a diminished value report. Due to my 28 years experience in the auto salvage business, I'm very good with wrecks. So if your car's been involved in a wreck, call me for a diminished value report. Call 727-541-1741. You may be owed some money for the lost value of your repaired vehicle. And visit us at GulfstreamMotorsports.com.
We're talking to Eric Serene, who's been with Bill Dawson at Best Services for 27 years. They're the official air conditioning service of the Tantalk Radio Network for more than 20 years. We all have air conditioners, and when it gets hot, there's a lot of problems with them because they haven't turned them on for a long time. Why should they call Best Services, Bill?
We provide 24-hour service, and obviously our guys have the experience and the expertise to provide quality service. And we're known for our honesty, integrity. You know, a lot of people could say that, but
that's really important.
It really is.
We're talking to Eric Serene with Bill Dawson at Best Services. They have 24-hour emergency service. Here's how you reach them. In Pinellas, it's 727-773-0151. In Pasco, the number is 842, also 727-842-3357. Let me give you their website, bestservicesHVAC.com. BestServicesHVAC.com.
Here's Downtown Dave for the Three Oaks Cafe, 1575 South Fort Harrison in Clearwater.
For a spectacular breakfast or lunch, we recommend the Three Oaks Cafe, 1575 South Fort Harrison in Clearwater. The food is terrific, the price is right, and the service the best. That's the Three Oaks Cafe, open every day from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., 1575 South Fort Harrison in Clearwater. Dine today at the Three Oaks Cafe.
Hi, my name is Robert Harriman, and I am the host of Outbreak News This Week, a radio arm of theglobaldispatch.com. The show is going to be a weekly digest of the latest and most important news related to infectious diseases, whether it be foodborne illnesses, influenza, or parasites, whatever's hot in the news that week. In addition, I'll have fantastic guests from health officials from all levels of government, NGOs, and academia. Outbreak News This Week will air on Saturday mornings at 7:30 a.m. on the Tantalk Network.
For all your home repair needs, call Ed's Handyman Services at 727-224-8681. For example, toilets, faucet, door locks, and much, much more. Impeccable quality work and reliable real-time service at an astonishing affordable price. Ed provides a clean, safe work environment from start to finish. Licensed, bonded, and insured, Ed guarantees all his work. So call Ed now at 727-224-8681.
From the Sunshine State, this is Tampa Bay's Tan Talk.
This is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 2nd of December, 2013. I'm your host, Mark Skogman. Yes. Remember to like us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Spectrum360 Radio Program. You can contact us there. You can leave messages, ask questions, and please like us on Facebook. And also, go to www.tantalk1340.com for our podcasts. Remember, podcasts. That's the best way to listen to Spectrum 360 because then you can listen anytime you care to and as many times as you care to. So it's a great way to experience Spectrum 360. Enjoy this music.
Actors out there in the audience tonight. It's called The Paws of Mr. Claus.
Whoa.
Why do you sit there so strange? Is it because you are beautiful? You must think you are deranged. Why do police guys beat on these guys? You must think Santa Claus weird. He has long hair and a beard, giving his presents for free. Why do police guys mess with these guys? Let's get Santa Claus cars. Santa Claus has a red suit, he's a communist, and a beard and long hair, must be a pacifist. What's in the pipe that he's smoking? Mr. Claus sneaks in your house at night. He must be a dope fiend to put you up tight. Why do police guys beat on these guys?
Okay, that's as close to traditional holiday music as you're going to get on this program. Excuse me. I just love that. That's The Paws of Mr. Claus by Arlo Guthrie. That was recorded in, I believe, it was 1968 or 1969 when Arlo Guthrie recorded that. He was very young at the time and also very funny. I love that. So, okay, on to our exclusive special coverage of the School of America's Watch on this program and the beginning of next program as well. What is the School of America's, you ask? I'm glad you asked that question. Well, the School of the Americas is a combat training school for Latin American soldiers. It's located at Fort Benning, Georgia. Fort Benning is a huge army base, very important base for the United States Army. And the city that it's located next to is Columbus, Georgia. That's in west central Georgia, right next to the border of Alabama, right across the river. And in 2001, it was renamed the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation, or WINSEC is the acronym. It was initially established in Panama in 1946. However, it was expelled from Panama in 1984 under the terms of the Panama Canal Treaty and reinforced under the treaty concerning the permanent neutrality and operation of the Panama Canal, Article 5. So, since 1984, it has been out of Panama, and it's been in Fort Benning, Georgia. Since 1946, the SOA has trained over 64,000 Latin American soldiers in counterinsurgency techniques. Let me say that one more time. Counterinsurgency techniques, sniper training, commando and psychological warfare, military intelligence, and interrogation tactics. These graduates have consistently used their skills to wage a war against their own people. Among those targeted by SOA graduates are educators, union organizers, religious workers, student leaders, and others who have worked for the rights of the poor. Hundreds of thousands of Latin Americans have been tortured, raped, assassinated, quote, disappeared, unquote, massacred, and forced to be refugees by those trained at the School of Assassins, as it's called. That's the nickname for the School of America's School of Assassins, which it very much is. Now, there was, in 1990, there was a protest started by a man who's an American citizen, born in Louisiana, was in the United States military for 4 years as a naval officer, served in the Vietnam War in shore duty, was wounded, has a Purple Heart, and then after that experience became a Catholic priest and worked for peace and social justice. He went for many years to Bolivia and worked with the poor in that country during the dictatorship, the notorious dictatorship of Banzer, while he was in Bolivia. Came back, and in 1990, he found out about the School of Americas and decided that it was so terrible that he had to demonstrate against this school. And he started a protest at the gates of Fort Benning, not protesting Fort Benning itself, but protesting this school that's on the grounds of Fort Benning. That's a very important distinction. We're not protesting the United States military or their patriotic duty to this country or soldiers that serve honorably. We are objecting to the existence and the operation of the School of Americas because what it does. So in 1990, Father Roy Bourgeois went on a 35-day water-only fast. Now, how many people in this world can say they've fasted for 35 days for peace and social justice? He fasted for 35 days with nine other people. There were 10 people at the first demonstration. They didn't even know if they were going to do it the next year. They had no intention of starting a movement. But in 1991, they did decide to do it again, and 100 people were there. In 1992, they did it again, and 1,000 people were there. In 1993, they did it again, and there were thousands of people there. And since then, there have been as many as 20,000 people at this demonstration. And it's not just a demonstration, although there's a large stage that's placed very close to the gates of Fort Benning at the main entrance, and there are long programs that go on Saturday and Sunday. It's also a political convention where there are many workshops, film screenings, plays, speeches. Usually, the School of America's Watch Vigil includes over 100 events and uses most or all of the space at the Columbus Convention Center, which is a beautiful building right on the river there in Columbus, Georgia. Columbus is a beautiful town. A nice place to go, a lot of things to see, a lot of historical things there. So that's what's happened. Now, the School of America's Watch has been in existence and has been conducted for 23 years. I started going in 2009, and I'm sorry to say that I did not know how important an event this was until 2009. It is the most dramatic, most emotional, the most artistic political event that I've ever been at. Very, very interesting. It really engages you emotionally. It's tremendously artistic. There's a lot of puppets. There's a lot of music. There's drum corps. There's professional musicians on the stage playing all manner of instruments. And it's just wonderful. It's a beautiful event. It's meant to commemorate the deaths of the people that have been murdered by graduates of the School of the Americas in Central and South American countries. And if you remember the famous case of the four Catholic nuns, the four church workers that were murdered in El Salvador in the early 80s, they were murdered by graduates of the School of Americas. This gives you an example of what happens when we do this kind of training and send these Latin American soldiers back to their countries. It is not for the benefit of the people, it's for their detriment. Now, on Sunday, the 24th of November, just a couple of weeks ago, during the SOA Watch Vigil, I had the opportunity to interview Father Roy Bourgeois. So I've got a great new interview. This is an exclusive. This is a Spectrum 360 exclusive. No one else has this interview. You're only going to hear it here. It's 7 minutes, 22 seconds with the founder of the School of America's Watch. Enjoy.
I'm here with Father Roy Bourgeois, the founder of the SOA Watch, and I want to ask you, Father Roy, what's your perspective on having done this for 23 years now? You started in 1990. This is 2013. What's your perspective on the last 23 years of trying to close the School of Americas?
Yeah, well, when we first came here in 1990, we had 10 of us. It had just been reported that those responsible for the massacre of the six Catholic priests of the Jesuit order and the co-worker young mother and her teenage daughter, Selena, those responsible, after an investigation by the Congressional Task Force going there from Washington. At that time, we were pumping $1 million a day into El Salvador. And some of the members of Congress knew some of the Jesuit priests or educated at their universities, and so they're pretty upset. But they come back reporting that those responsible were trained in the United States at the U.S. Army School of the Americas at Fort Benning. So I started making some calls and felt we had to come down here and investigate the School of the Americas, which we knew very little about. And 10 of us gathered here And our first action really was a fast, a 35-day water-only fast. We had no intentions of beginning a movement. We just knew we had to come to say not in our name. Most of us had been to El Salvador, and really it was the killing fields. It was the slaughter of the innocents. I came back from El Salvador very angry, as so many did. But, you know, there's constructive ways we can direct our anger, and we felt a good way to direct the anger was through nonviolence, but through resistance and through action. So we came here, and we did that fast. And then after the fast, we lost a lot of weight, you know, 35 days just on water. But we got healthy again, and then that's when we started to do the research. And what we discovered here was a school of assassins, as it was known in El Salvador, Guatemala, Colombia, and all these other countries where their soldiers were being trained, you know, their countries. And so we just really, what we had to do was educate ourselves and the U.S. public and members of Congress and the media. What we found was really this school had been hiding, not by accident either, hiding behind a wall of secrecy. And we had to break down this wall of ignorance, this wall of secrecy. And so we just started, very, very low-budget operation. We started an office in Washington, D.C., and started a website, and I started to get on the road to bring the facts, the documentation, all confirmed, and helped along by Amnesty International and members of Congress like Joe Kennedy and others. And something happened. I must say, I've come to believe that if people, most people, have the right information, we have what we call this compassion for others. And when we see other people suffering, especially to the extent that this school was causing to others, this combat school, and people started to get the facts about what was going on in these countries by graduates of this school as they returned to their home countries, El Salvador. Over 75,000 killed, many of them children, landless farmers, the campesinos. Mm-hmm. In Guatemala, over 275,000. Wow. And people just simply began to say, no, I do not want my tax money used this way. This really is being done in my name, in our name.
Yes.
And something happened. There was a movement that began to take root and blossom.
And I understand that there's been as many as 20,000 people here at this event.
Exactly. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, sometimes I was humbled. I was just in awe. I just said, wow, where are these folks coming from? 'Cause we started with 10, the next year 100 came, and then 500, and then all of a sudden 1,000. And then before long, 5,000, 10,000. 20,000. And all of a sudden, I mean, really, we were on a roll. I mean, in a sense, the movement was at, in a way, so strong. And we realized, too, that we were up against, you know, the Pentagon. We were up against a lot of power.
Now, this is 2013 as we're doing this interview. What do you think about the chances of closing the School of Americas, or which is now the WINSEC? What do you think the odds are of closing it now after all these years?
Well, after all these years, we're getting there. And many more people know about the issue. Yes, in 2001, the School of the Americas, the name was changed to the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation. New name, but the same shame. Let me just briefly mention why the name was changed. We really, just a couple years before that, voted in Congress to change the name. I mean, it was incredible what was going on. The movement was so strong. There were so many people coming here. Major newspapers came out with their editorial pages, you know, their position of the paper. They were calling for the closing of the School of the Americas. Who were those papers? You know, the New York Times, the Washington Post, Boston Globe, Los Angeles Times, Chicago Tribune, Atlanta Constitution. Referring, like the Washington Post, a school of scandal. The New York Times, a school of dictators. In Boston Globe, a school of assassins. I mean, it was incredible. And here's what happened. We had votes in Congress, and each year it would get closer. We came within 10 votes of shutting it down. And actually, members of Congress informed the Pentagon it was over, that they were getting so many letters from their constituents, and there was so much press about this. This became a public relations nightmare for the Pentagon and really for members of Congress. They said simply, we cannot support this school, anything with the name of School of the Americas. So what they did in order to save the school, they changed its name.
Okay, there we have an interview, an exclusive interview that you're only going to hear on Spectrum 360. I did that on location on Sunday, the 24th of November, 2013, at the School of America's Watch Vigil at the gates of Fort Benning in Columbus, Georgia. That was the great Father Roy Bourgeois, great guy, founder of the School of America's Watch. And I want to play a brief speech by Patrick McCann, who's the current president of the Veterans for Peace National Organization. This was also done at the School of Americas.
Now, President of the Veterans for Peace, please welcome Brother Patrick McCann all the way from Washington, D.C. Let's hear it.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and we want to say that we are not afraid by the passing of the helicopter gunships over our stage to intimidate us. We are not afraid of death, as we heard from the brother from El Salvador the other day. We are not afraid to die, because dying for the people is heavier than a mountain. And to give respect to the United Auto Workers contingent that I heard at the Labor Caucus two nights ago, we have a responsibility larger than we can imagine as our brothers and sisters in Latin America and the Caribbean face the death. And when we leave, and when we leave here, when we go back to North Carolina and to Miami and to Minnesota and to Chicago and to San Francisco and to Maryland, when we go back and when we prepare to come to next year, because we want people to make this an annual pilgrimage. You must come back every year, and everyone who you bring can witness the deep sentiment when we cry, no mas, no more, and when we cry, presente. And as they said, of course, we have two more people in Honduras that we must cry, presente for. So go back, and come back, and bring one, and each one teach one. So we say, no mas, no war, we must stop the dirty war. Compañeros, compañeros, we cry, no mas, no more. Come back next year.
All right, folks, and as our brother Martin has taught us...
I made an announcement earlier about Honduras. The elections are happening today. We know there's been a lot of repression of our own activists there, of the international observers. And we just got word from Honduras that at 6:20 this morning, today is the day of elections, the main opposition radio, Radio Global, was taken over and shut down and occupied by the military at this point. So as we stand here, the terror of the SOA is happening at this moment in Honduras. So we are remembering our Honduran brothers and sisters.
Okay, that was an update that was done from the stage at the SOA Watch Vigil on Sunday, the 24th of November, 2013. The very thing that we were protesting at that vigil was happening in Honduras, because that November 24th, that Sunday, was an election day in Honduras. There were two people killed in election violence. The liberal radio station was taken over, occupied by the military, and it ended its broadcasting. They shut it down. These are the kind of things that are happening right now. This is not theoretical. This is not something that happened in the 80s. This is not something that happened, you know, a long time ago or even a few years ago. These things are happening right now to people that we know. That's why this is so important. Here's some music from the SOA Watch. This is also a Spectrum 360 exclusive. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes of this to give you a flavor of the event, and then we'll be back to wrap up the program, and we'll be back next week with more Spectrum 360 and more SOA Watch Vigil. Enjoy the music.
We can shut down this torture school, but we need your help. One by one, brick by brick, we will shut it down.
That is music from the stage at the School of America's Watch. A very moving song. This is the first time I've listened to this song and not started to cry. So I'm kind of proud of myself. It's very moving to me. It's talking about people's lives. It's talking about their well-being, of their families and their countries, and them being able to survive. And that's what we've been talking about on this program. Okay. We'll be back next week with more Spectrum 360. Remember the podcast. Remember to like us on Facebook. We've got to get out of here. Make way for the next program. It's been great. Please come back for more Spectrum 360 next week with Mark Skogman. Yours truly.
Spectrum 360 is produced by Sunburst Media Productions and Refuge Productions and originates from St. Petersburg, Florida. Executive producer, host, audio engineer, and senior reporter, Mark Skogman. Co-producer, co-host, and field reporter, Bruce Wright. Associate producer, Terry Weeks. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. for 1 hour and online anytime via podcast. To access the podcast, go to www.facebook.com/Spectrum360 Radio Program and click on the program link. Or go to www.tantalk1340.com, click on podcasts, and click on Spectrum 360. Thank you to all our listeners and supporters from the staff of Spectrum 360. Listen next week for another interesting, informative, and entertaining Spectrum 360 radio program.
That's all, folks.
Listening to the Tan Talk Radio Network.
WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.